Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. 16 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great show this morning. We'll be joined in hour number two this morning by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, as we get ready for the big Thanksgiving holiday. And this hour, we're joined, as we are every other Tuesday, by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler, and a lot of things to talk about since we spoke last time with the pandemic continuing on. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, here we are. Well, let's just start. How are things in Marion as of Tuesday, November 24th?
Our cases are continuing to climb. We are definitely in a surge right now. We are seeing hundreds of new cases come in. Every day we're getting 100, 150 new cases added to our queue. So we're at 2,160 community cases as of the end of the day yesterday. Now that number is skewed because we haven't been able to clear out our queue. We can get through 50 or 60 cases a day. They continue to add cases in, so there's probably over 300 cases in our queue that we haven't even had a chance to get to yet. So we are definitely, you know, seeing our highest numbers, our most activity that we've seen through this entire pandemic.
As far as this goes, with hospitalizations and people who are dying, do we know what those numbers are?
I don't have numbers for today, and it's constantly changing at the hospital. The last numbers I had were from Thursday or Friday, and the hospital had 60 people admitted, and I want to say 15 people on vents. So we're definitely seeing huge increases at the hospital. You know, we are used to seeing one or two people on a vent, you know, or maybe five or six people in ICU. And so our numbers are climbing at the hospital, which is, you know, you see people hospitalized, and then a couple of weeks later is when you start to see the deaths.
Mm. What is the death number? Do we know in the last week or so here in Marion?
We have not had any deaths that I'm aware of in the last week in Marion.
What is the total number at this point?
The total number of deaths is 53. 23 of those are from our prison outbreak that we had back in the spring. 30 of those are community.
Mm. Now, with such high numbers, how long can the hospital go before they reach capacity? Is there a number they can't go past?
I'm not sure about that. I'm sure they have a number, but I'm not sure what it is. They have been working on their contingency plans of what they're going to do as their patient count continues to climb. They serve not just Marion, but Hardin and other surrounding counties. So it's not just Marion residents that we're talking about when we talk about those numbers. But, you know, they're part of the Ohio health system. And so they're able to shift patients and do different things to make sure that they're able to manage their capacity and put, you know, make sure that they're putting the patients with the right kind of care that they need and things like that. So I know that they were working on those plans. I'm not sure where they have landed yet, but it's definitely, you know, something that they built in the spring so that when they got to this point, they'd be prepared.
when we look at the process, for people who have not been part of the process, what exactly happens from the time that maybe you don't feel so well, or the health department calls you and tells you you've been around somebody who is tested positive? Where do you go? How do you get tested? How long does it take to get the test back? How does that whole process happen?
Well, it's actually changing just because of the surge. So I'll kind of walk you through what's happening right now. So if you started to not feel well, and that's really any symptoms, headache, runny nose, certainly a fever, body aches, all different kinds of symptoms, give your doctor a call. That's where you start. And they usually will walk through on the phone with you some screening questions to see if you should go get tested. Once they decide that you should go get tested, most people are going to the Barks Road location over by the post office, and they do a throat swab there. So it's almost like a strep throat test, if you remember those. And it has been taking 5 days or so sometimes to get a test result back, because of the sheer number of people getting tested. So I don't know if you've noticed, but over there by the Barks Road, I've driven by a few times where the line is out to the street. And they're seeing that kind of all over.
When we look at these numbers, I think about the city having about 35,000 people and the county having about 65,000 people. And when you have a number over 2,000, that's a huge number of people. And that's just Marion County, correct?
Right.
That seems like an enormous number of people who have tested positive for this illness for the population that we have.
Yeah, and that 2,000 number goes back to the spring, so that's our cumulative number throughout the pandemic. But, you know, it is a big number. We expect that number to continue to climb just because this disease is so highly contagious.
Can you get COVID twice? I've heard a lot of people ask that.
We have seen a few people who have gotten COVID again, and they don't have a lot of data on that yet. So what we normally tell people is that once they've had COVID, for example, you don't have to quarantine again for 3 months. So if you've had COVID and then a month later you get exposed to somebody else who has COVID, you wouldn't need to quarantine. We feel like there's a good chance that you have immunity built up for at least 3 months. After that, they don't really have a lot of good data on how frequently you get reinfected and things like that. So we say after 3 months, you need to go through these processes of quarantining and watching your symptoms and things like that.
You know, I understand a lot of this is opinion at this point, but why 8 to 9 months in this illness are we at the worst point? I think a lot of people might have thought it would have been when we didn't know a whole lot, when there wasn't a mask mandate, when people were in the grocery. I mean, there was a time in the beginning of this where people were in the grocery store. The employees weren't wearing masks. The customers certainly weren't wearing masks. But now, when all that's been in place for quite some time since summer, I believe mid-July, we're at our highest numbers.
Well, in the beginning of the pandemic, we were only having essential businesses operating. We didn't have school in session. And yes, you went to the grocery store and things like that, but there was a lot less people around. And those long-term exposures weren't happening, where you were, you know, in the grocery store, you pass by somebody. Yes, you can get infected that way, but the more you're around somebody, the more likely you are to get infected. And we did those shutdowns in the beginning to try to build capacity. We knew we weren't going to be able to prevent this pandemic from happening. You're in a pandemic, you can't change that situation. So we shut stuff down so that we could build up our supply of PPE. Businesses could make arrangements to protect their employees. So we see them all having dividers and different things like that in their facilities. Build hospital capacity, get the schools ready to function during a pandemic. knowing full well that we were going to get to the point where we couldn't hold it back anymore, you know, that the dam was going to break, and that's where we are now. And we've been warning people of that the whole time, that the fall and the winter were going to be bad, because we opened everything back up, because people are more inside now than they are outside, and so there's not good airflow. All of those kinds of things contributed to, you know, the surge in cases. People are getting together more, but they didn't do that in the spring as much. So we're seeing people are getting infected from parties and sleepovers and things like that that we weren't seeing in the spring.
As we head into the big Thanksgiving holiday, of course, people have been advised not to have the big Thanksgiving, and a lot of people are adhering to that. But anybody who's walked into a grocery store in the last 2 weeks will know turkeys are flying off the shelf. People are buying $200 and $300 meals. I'm sure this is not for a small gathering. How big of a worry is Thursday this week?
It's a tremendous worry. It's at the top of our list of concerns because our cases are so high and the amount that's coming in is so high that this virus is spreading throughout our community. It's there. We are embedded in the pandemic. And so getting together with your family is extremely dangerous. You don't want Thanksgiving to cause this year to cause you not to have a Thanksgiving next year with a loved one. And so when you look at our hospital capacity, when you look at how many people are in the ICU, you don't want one of your family members to become one of those statistics. And certainly the more cases that we have, it has that domino effect that our schools may shut down, businesses, and things like that. So we all have to do our part. Don't have these big holiday meals. Put it off so that you can have a great Thanksgiving next year, and just try to stay as safe as you can.
When we look at the numbers of people who are sick, even since the last time I spoke with you, I have learned of people, not necessarily in the orbit, my orbit that I see every day, but people who I certainly know who have been affected by this and who have had symptoms, and even a couple of people who did end up in the hospital. That certainly was not happening in the beginning. What is causing so many people to be more symptomatic all of a sudden, or is it just more people are having it?
Well, it's both. More people are having it. So the more people that get it, the more likely you are to know somebody who ends up hospitalized, and the more likely you are to know a case. You know, our goal has been to keep people from knowing somebody who has it or knowing somebody who's hospitalized, to prevent that from happening to you, putting you in that situation. But one of the things that's happening is that people are together in a home, in a living room or something like that for a long period of time, having get-togethers. They're not wearing any masks. And so they're getting exposed, which is making people get sick. So that kind of backs into quarantine. In the beginning, we were putting people on quarantine because they were exposed to somebody. Most of the time, they were exposed at work. At work, they were wearing masks, they had dividers and things like that. We hardly saw anybody who, once they were put on quarantine, converted to positive, became symptomatic. Now we're seeing that a lot. People are put on quarantine, a few days later they start showing symptoms. And it's because they're more and more and more being around each other and getting exposed. So it's causing them to convert over to being positive.
You know, Tracy, maybe you might have some insight into this, but I have just taken this as an observation during the Thanksgiving holiday, because cases are so high right now after the election, after Halloween, with temperatures getting colder and people staying inside. You know, we sent everybody, a lot of people, to work from home. We did close down things in the beginning, but the one business that has pretty well remained open and stayed consistently face-to-face busy through this entire thing has been the grocery stores. And they are, I mean, go to a grocery store today, it's going to be busy. But yet, it doesn't seem as if, and I don't know, you know, we really don't know, I guess, that the employees of grocery stores are getting sick in big numbers. It seems like that's not happening. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and so, you know, they are wearing masks. The majority of their customers have been wearing masks, and those masks are a great way to prevent our grocery store workers from getting sick. If people weren't wearing masks right now with the amount of spread that we have in our community, they would be exposed all day long. So thankfully, that's not happening because processes are in place. They're taking frequent breaks. They wash their hands. They sanitize. And the majority of people are wearing masks. So you're right. We have not seen, for example, a big outbreak at one of our local grocery stores or something like that. We do get cases, but not to a number to rise up to be, you know, considered an outbreak or that would necessitate shutting down a store or anything like that. We have not seen that yet.
Tracy, the mask issue is still an issue to the degree that from the beginning, pretty much, people have said, well, the mask protects other people from you if you have it, but doesn't protect you from other people. Then we learned about a week and a half ago, I believe it was Dr. Fauci said, no, that's not true, that it does protect you from other people. Is that a new development? Is that true? Do the masks protect you at all?
They protect you when both people are wearing the masks, your protection level goes up. So you get some protection, then you get more protection as you go up. And so when you're wearing your mask and the other person isn't, your eyes are still exposed. Now, you're less likely to get it through your eyes than you would be through your mouth. But you still have a chance. So then when both people are wearing a mask, your protection goes up further from there. So it's layered, you know, it's different layers of protection. I don't have percentages of one way or the other, but the more that everybody is wearing their mask, the better.
When people are contracting this, how long and how close? We've heard about 6 feet apart. We've heard about wearing masks. How long would you about have to be in a room with somebody? How close would you have to be to contract this illness?
Well, we've actually had people who get sick who were exposed for very short periods of time, 5 minutes, something like that. However, the majority of the cases that we're seeing now have been at a party with the person for a good amount of time, or they've had slumber parties, sleepovers, and things like that. So they're in the room together for a long period of time, the majority of our cases that we're seeing now.
We've talked before about how people have been hanging up on you when you've called them to tell them they were positive, not giving the names of the people who they have come in contact with. Has that gotten any better?
No, we're still in that boat. We still see that. A lot people don't want to speak to the public health worker. They're kind of making up their own versions of quarantine and isolation. Oh, I'll just stay home a couple of days and then I'll be fine. I hear that kind of out in the public a lot. And so we're getting low compliance. We know because people call to complain that people who are contagious, who are positive, are roaming around the community, going out. We have businesses who are requiring their employees to come back to work or lose their job, which is an issue that we've been trying to work through. So it's definitely, you know, it's up to individuals to decide how this pandemic is going to go. And staying home when you're sick or staying home when you're exposed is one of the few tools we have until the vaccine comes out to curb the spread.
When we, last week, we heard from the governor, he was going to shake things up a little bit, and we've got this curfew now for 21 days in which you're not supposed to go out after 10 o'clock until 5 in the morning, but grocery stores were allowed to remain open. You can still go to the grocery store. You can still get takeout food, and most people I talked to were confused by this because you would think that just in general, less people are out between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. anyway. There would be less chance of getting it than at noon or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What did you make of the curfew?
I to me, the curfew was put into place because of wedding receptions, banquets, parties that are going into the night. We see a lot of spread from those types of events across the state, particularly in college towns and places like that, where, you know, if you meet the guidelines for a banquet, you can call it a banquet or you can call it entertainment. There are certain things you're allowed to do in the order. Well, as the night goes on and people drink alcohol and things like that, they let their guard down more and more. And they're seeing a lot of exposures in those college towns and big cities and stuff like that after 10 o'clock because of the parties that are happening. So it wasn't really an effort to curb, you know, going through a drive-thru and getting something to eat or running to the grocery store and picking something up. It was, we're continuing to have wedding receptions and other parties and stuff well into the night. And just like how the bars started to close, places like Columbus, Cleveland, college towns saw a decrease in their cases once the bar rules came into effect. And so they're expecting to see a similar decrease in their cases now that same rule is sort of applying across to those other places that are serving alcohol and things like that.
When we look at what we know right now, we know the curfew is in place. We know that the stores are busy. We know that has not decreased any. We know people plan on getting together Thursday, even though they should not. We know that schools remain in session, that there really are no new restrictions on any of the typical things that have been going on during this entire pandemic. That being said, with record numbers popping up every couple days, yesterday I believe was a record number in Ohio, is there anything at this point that is going to stop this from catapulting?
You know, people are going to make their individual choices. Our community has to decide how far this catapults, you know. And if I would say for right now, not changing anything, that no, we are definitely going to see even more cases after Thanksgiving and then after Christmas and New Year's as well. We're expecting that we're going to be in this surge. We're not going to see our cases start to go down until well into January.
We saw something interesting last week. Franklin County went to purple, I believe the first county to go to purple, and the local people in that community, the local elected officials, put a stay-at-home advisory in place. And it had long been thought that local communities could not do that. Is that something that can happen, can work for people who don't want to wait or disagree with the governor at this point?
You can do it. It's just an advisory, so it's not an order. So I think that's kind of where that's coming from, is the health department and their local officials want to make sure that people know, and so they've issued the advisories, and I think we're going to start seeing more of those pop up around the state. It's certainly something that we've been discussing here in Marion, you know, making that recommendation to people. We've made that recommendation all along. Stay home. You know, that's the best defense that we have against this virus. Just stay home.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple more questions here. I would think at this point, you certainly don't want people dying. You certainly don't want people to continue to get affected. You certainly don't want the 6-day wait period because so many people are being tested. How long... But I would think the biggest worry is the hospital. The hospital getting overrun just with people, their staff, and also available beds because of the contagious nature of this illness. How long can we continue to allow things to build up when the hospital is already getting close to capacity without changing something to try to stop this?
Well, you know, I think we're at that point, but what do you change is the question. Because no matter what order the governor puts on or what we would even try to implement here in Marion, people are going to do what they're going to do. And so if people are going to snub the rules and have private parties and private get-togethers and figure out ways around and loopholes and things like that, so that they can continue to gather together, there's no order or anything that the government can do to stop people from doing that. So it takes our community standing up, the people who believe in this, the people who don't want a scenario like you're talking about to happen in Marion, to raise their voices up and put some pressure on people to stay home and do the right thing.
That being said, just because I'm not really sure what's called, I don't think anybody is, why people are continuing to do what they're doing. If the hospital got to a point where it was at capacity, what would happen if somebody was sick? Do we know what would go on?
Well, you're more than, sick with COVID?
Yeah, if you were ill, or any other illness,
anything,
if the hospital's full, what would you do?
Well, they would probably start separating the hospitals out so that you'd have a COVID hospital, non-COVID hospitals. So you would be pushed to a non-COVID hospital, which means you might have to drive, which would, if you're having a heart attack or things like that, certainly the emergency room would get you as stable as they can and then push you out to another hospital. But, capacity would start to build up. The biggest problem that we're going to have is staffing at this point, because they've been able to get the equipment and supplies they need. They don't have enough workers if everybody is sick and out on quarantine. Our hospital workers are human beings just like everybody else, and they're doing these same behaviors that everybody's doing. They're going to Thanksgiving. They're having Ohio State parties and slumber parties for their kids, so they're getting sick just like everybody else is, or put on quarantine. They are part of our community. And so we're going to start to see people that can't get treatment. I mean, that's just the long and short of it. They're going to have to prioritize who gets treatment and who doesn't.
Tracy, two quick questions here, because, one of the issue, and we've talked about this through this whole thing, has been messaging. And we are at record numbers right now, and we are at record numbers in Marion County, if you have this, for waiting and so on and so forth. But also in Marion County, in the next couple weeks, we have winter sports starting. As far as I know, they're all still going to happen. Basketball, which is played inside, other than football, which was played outside, and they have a lot of games a week, certainly a lot more than football had. And Christmas at the Palace is going on. I saw an advertisement for it last night. Certainly that's an indoor event. What do you make of that at the height of the pandemic?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It's frustrating on a lot of levels. So, with sports and things like that, I know how important it is to kids and their parents. But in order to stop that from happening, it would have to be across the state. The health commissioners were talking about that just the other day. It would have to be everybody. So we can't just say in Marion they're not going to play sports. You have to do that across the board. But the other thing I would say that's frustrating for us at the health department is we get a lot of calls from people who want to hold an event, and they're able to meet the letter of the guidance that the state has put out for an entertainment or a retail event or whatever. Yes, they can meet the letter of that guidance. So we cannot tell them they can't have it because they meet the guidance, but they should not have it. And so there's a big difference between what you can do and what you should do. And we need people in the community when they're trying to plan these events to realize that and to say, you know what, we're in the height of the pandemic. It has sunk its teeth into us, and I have to do my part to stop it. So, no, I don't want to have this event. I don't want to put on this thing in the community, even though it's something that we're used to and is a tradition. And right now we're not seeing that. We're seeing people push to have their events and push to find a loophole and things like that. So it's been very frustrating, and people need to get on board, basically.
Well, and I think that's one of the interesting things of this is, you have your 9-to-5 people who are out there working hard, and a lot of them, I think, are going to work for what you said earlier. People are threatening to fire them if they don't come to work. They need to come back. They don't want to get quarantined because they would miss 2 weeks' pay. We haven't seen a stimulus since April. Nothing's coming out of Washington, but yet they look around in the midst of all that, trying to be safe and see that kids are playing basketball, and this is run by the school districts, and a nonprofit like the Palace is having a big show for 3 days.
Yeah, and, we get a lot of calls, a lot of complaints, just with what you're saying, the contradictory nature of this. is very frustrating for people, you know, and the people who have no choice but to be out there getting exposed, putting themselves and their families at risk. I think we need to have an appreciation for them, and people need to do what they can to not put them in more and more risk. And the only way to do that is to stay home, not have these events. It's definitely a interesting situation with the schools where we're putting lots of kids on quarantine because they were exposed. I would expect that to continue as winter sports come up. We don't see exposure from kid to kid in the classroom. We see kids who are getting exposed or turning positive because of playing a sport or because they had a big party over the weekend and one person was positive and now the whole entire class basically is exposed. So it's those human behaviors that we have to stop.
Tracy, a final quick question here, because I've heard this from a lot of people. Is the treatment getting better for people? Is that why maybe we're seeing fewer deaths on the whole, even though we have more cases diagnosed?
Yes, that's definitely a part of it. They have learned a lot more about how the disease progresses, and so they are able to anticipate and be able to treat those symptoms that they know are coming sort of next. They're able to anticipate that and provide some sort of relief for that. And so it's definitely getting better in those respects, which, you know, we bought all that time in the beginning to be able to figure out how this disease progresses and how it works and what it does to the body. So we're definitely, you know, it's one of the things I'm grateful for is that we are able to see that treatment. We are able to do at least something for the majority of people to make sure that they come out of the hospital, which I feel like is great news. But, you know, regardless of that, to not be able to breathe is one of the worst feelings. I can't even imagine it. And that's what people are going through who are hospitalized. They can't catch their breath. They can't breathe. And so even if they walk out of the hospital, they're showing damage to their lungs, damage to their heart, and things like that from just not being able to breathe. So it's serious. It's not just, oh, I'm alive or I'm dead. There's a lot of room in between there for complications.
Mm. When we speak next, we should start to be seeing some of the numbers from Thanksgiving and Black Friday and shopping and so on and so forth. How bad do you expect it to be locally?
I expect it to get way worse than it is now. I'm expecting to see, you know, hundreds of cases come through. From my perspective, one of our issues is just not being able to keep up with that caseload, to notify people, to tell them to isolate. And so we need people to just take that on themselves and say, you know what, I went and got tested. I'm going to take the responsibility and stay home and isolate myself for 10 days. And I'm going to tell my people that I've been around that they need to stay home for 14 and not wait on the health department to call me. I'm afraid people are going to take it as an excuse, well, the health department never called me, and so they're not going to go on quarantine or isolation. And so just know you could be, you know, number 400 in our queue, and we're trying to get to you as fast as we can, and we may not be able to.
Are our businesses following the rules for the most part in Marion?
I think they are. For the most part, we're seeing a lot of compliance. They don't want to be shut down because of an outbreak, and so they are complying. They are trying to do what they can and, you know, do their part. Do we have places where, you know, they need a push? Yes. But for the most part, our businesses are doing a great job.
You know, Tracy, I've thought about this whole thing, and I think before this whole thing hit, a lot of people thought of the health department in congregation with health checks at restaurants, and that was sort of the health department thing, or maybe getting a shot here or there. But boy, the things you guys have been through this year and where we are right now, obviously overrun. Boy, we can't thank you enough as the community and continuing to fill us in. And we appreciate the work, and I don't know how often you hear that, but we certainly are appreciating the work, and we hope you and your staff have a great tone down Thanksgiving, which is what we should do this year. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Well, there you go. There's your pandemic information. And
I guess at this point, you have to do what you have to do. Now, if anybody wants to say anything here, we've got about 10 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. With what you have heard. Don't forget the free Thanksgiving meal at Dayspring Wesleyan Church is coming up November 26th, Thanksgiving Day. It's open to the public. Carry out 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. And if you don't have transportation, home delivery is available that day in the Marion area, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., but it must be pre-ordered by Tuesday, November 24th at noon. That's today. Tuesday, November 24th by noon. Call 740-389-3684. 740-389-3684. The free Thanksgiving meal. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
You know, you said yesterday that Ohio had never had a woman governor.
Yes.
That's wrong. When Voinovich got elected to the Senate, Nancy Hollister became governor until Bob Taft could be sworn in.
Never an elected governor, I guess. The people have never chosen a female governor.
No, but she was sworn in, and she was the governor.
Right. Why do you think a woman has never been elected governor? That the people have never chosen a woman? They've had a chance to do it.
Well, personally, from what I've seen of some of these women in politics, I don't think they should be there. And that's my opinion.
Well, it's interesting because Ohio, we seem to be a battleground state. We seem to be a state that a lot of people politically pay attention to. We've had a lot of presidents from here, and yet in this country, we've never had a female president, we've never had a female elected governor in Ohio, and we've never had a female elected mayor in the city of Marion, and women have now had the right to vote for 100 years, and a lot of time are the majority of people voting, but yet, it doesn't happen. 100 years, and still no elected officials, female, on those three executive posts. You would think one would slip in.
Well, maybe, maybe they think a little bit along the lines that I do, that I think men are better qualified for those positions.
What do you think makes a man better qualified?
Well, just going back through the Bible, the men were the ones that were the leaders, and I think that's followed down through when I see the horrible jobs that some of the women that have been elected and been given the chance to do jobs. Some of these women should have stayed home and stayed in the kitchen because they did a horrible job in the job that they were in.
Well, it's interesting because I just would have imagined, and I think a lot of those women who fought for the right to vote 100 years ago would have thought that in a century, and that's now what it's been, a century, 100 years, that we would have either had one governor, president, or mayor who was a female. And they have run. They've run. Joanne Kasotis ran for mayor here. Gene Hoffman ran a few years ago for mayor here. I believe Dorothy Teeter ran in Columbus for mayor against Michael Coleman at one point. Certainly Hillary Clinton ran for president. Not one in 100 years. The man always wins, and yet women are usually the majority of the voters.
Well, there's apparently a lot of women that think like I do, and that they have to maybe clean up their act a little bit and be more qualified to hold that office. But in all my years, and I'm not young, and I've seen women run for posts like vice president and stuff like that, I haven't seen a lot that enthralled me that I would want to vote for them.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I don't think we've had a big scandal with any mayor here in Marion, which is good, but certainly you mentioned Bob Taft, the former governor. He left under a mist of controversy being the governor of Ohio, all kinds of trouble that he was having, and we really haven't heard much from him since then. And certainly on the presidential level, we've had, in the last 100 years, presidents resign, presidents impeached, presidents charged with things and having to make deals with special prosecutors. So the men certainly have not been perfect as presidents and governors, but yet we never elect a woman.
Well, that'll remain to be seen. When it's in God's timing, it'll happen, but until it is, it won't.
Well, just while I have you on the line, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you going to have a toned-down Thanksgiving like...
Very much so, very much so.
Yeah. What do you make of these numbers that we just heard from the health commissioner?
I don't know. I don't think the numbers we're given are right. I think they're holding back some things, but I think it's a good idea not to be into a crowd, and I don't go out unless I absolutely have to. And then I wear a mask. I'm going to be honest. I wear a mask. I don't go out without one. And I just think we need to use some common sense when we go out.
Well, it's interesting because they're not the exact numbers for today. These were late last week. But when you think about it, 60 people in the hospital, 15 people on vents, ventilators. That, to me, is an unbelievable number. You know, and whether or not people believe in this or not, which it's hard to believe this far in that we're still having that conversation. But, you know, if the hospital's full... 15 people are on ventilators, 60 people are there.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
a
lot for a town this size.
Right, and you cannot deny that the hospital is filling up. So whether you believe in this or not, if you have a heart attack, if you have a stroke, if you have a complication from an illness you have, if you have cancer, I don't know that you want the hospital to be short-staffed or running out of room. And certainly, they're getting to that point.
No, you wouldn't. But if people just use common sense, I think they'll do okay. But a lot of people think they're invincible, and that's a stupid thing to do. I've seen so many young kids, well, I'm young, I won't get sick, I won't do this, I won't do that. Well... we're all invincible. We're all human, and we have frailties, some more than others.
Absolutely.
And we just need to use a little common sense about stuff like this.
Well, I tell you, you have a happy Thanksgiving. However you will.
Too.
Yes, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, and we'll be on tomorrow morning. This is not our last show. We'll be on tomorrow morning before the big Thanksgiving holiday. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 2 minutes left before the break here. And we thank Tracy Kinsler for coming on. You know, you wonder where this is all going to go, because we are heading into Thanksgiving. We are heading into... busy shopping season of the year. I'm interested to see how that's all going to shake out in the end, how the shopping season is going to play out. All right, let's go to the phones. We got about 2 minutes left here before the break. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. How you doing this morning? I've been hearing you fussing around with these people or whatever about this virus and so on and so forth, and this get-together. You brought a specific place that was going to be open and having this play, Scott.
Yeah, Christmas at the Palace.
Right. Now, you know, in a way, I don't blame them for being open. But I blame these people that's going to go to it. You don't have to go to that.
It is a choice.
And especially in that type of place, in that get-together, you're going to be together. There ain't no doubt about that if you go. And I don't blame the owners or so on and so forth, whatever business it is. You've got a right to open. But these people, that, especially what I was talking about, you don't have to go there.
Well, I will say this. Christmas at the Palace is one thing, but a basketball season is starting. Boys and girls, I believe on Friday. They play a lot more games than the football team does. They play inside, and even though they don't draw the crowds that football normally does, we are certainly at a much higher number during this pandemic than we were during football season. So we'll see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, you cut me off whenever you got to go. But they're outside, the football.
Right.
Football's outside. That is a little different than being inside, especially a movie where you're sitting still, breast to shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder. But, Scott, unless we all take this serious, we ain't never going to get rid of it. Or it's going to kill everybody, one, because it's just, I'll look for, like this guy said, first of the year here, I'll look for a massive explosion. It's pretty well already. And these holidays are coming along, and our public events are still going on, which look how it's spreading already. How about these holidays? Now let's look for a massive explosion here the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month. As time goes along, it's going to get colder. We're going to be inside more. So that's just going to add to it, too. So unless we just absolutely buckle down and try to slow this down some, we're going to be in a massive problem.
I hope we can just hold our breath and hope for the best. We're going to break here, but thank you for calling in.
You have a nice day. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Boy, I'll tell you it.
You know, it's old and it's always interesting if you are smart and if you keep up on the topics that people are interested in. And